welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. I'm Trevor Grant. Through these podcasts, we aim to discuss topics relevant to professionals within the hotel, travel and leisure sectors, whether you're in a revenue management function, reservations, front office operations, digital marketing or sales. We hope the topics discussed will be of interest and either answer some questions or maybe prompt some more. Hi, welcome to another Revenue Hub podcast. We are delighted again to be joined by our guests from Berner and Becker. We have Veit and Till once more, following up on our recent podcast. Hello, guys. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Yeah, very good indeed. You well, Till?
Yeah, very well. Good to be back.
Great. Good to have you on here. So I think then where we are, let's start. We said we were going to talk about two parts. Let's start about part two here, which is really looking at if we've covered off where we should be looking and what we should be doing to drive more people to our site. When they arrive at our site, and I'm going to have to stay really quiet during some of this, and people will say, well, he doesn't do that anyhow. But I'm going to try, because this is the bit, having tried to book three different hotels over the last couple of months, this is what drives me mad when I hear all about this direct booking and you just see what these hotels actually do once you go to their site. So let's start with the absolute basics. When we first arrive, so I might see on an OTA, I do a search, I come up with three or four hotels. I want to help the hotels. I want to book direct with them if I can. So I'm going to go and open up the URLs of those four sites. I'm going to land on their four homepages. Okay. Now, this is where I'm going to be quiet.
Horrific experience.
Because now you guys are going to talk about what are the things that are so important with, you know, the quality of the website just when you land. And keeping in the back of the mind what we covered off in part one, which is kind of understanding your USPs, your feeder markets. When we land, what should a website, where should they be really focusing, and where are some of the obvious mistakes that they make? And I'm actually going to mute myself here so I can't talk.
Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to. Jump in.
Well, maybe start with the first thing that we feel is very important is the overall quality of the website. And when talking about quality, I would just maybe subdivide it into four points, which are the look and feel, the quality of the content and the way how easy it is to find it, information on the different rooms and services, and then showcasing the USPs. So really answering all questions that guests might have. So talking about you, you opened the four websites. What were you actually looking for? Do you find it on the website?
Yeah, good point.
And to maybe start with the first point, the look and feel is how nice does it look like? Is it appealing to me when I open up the website? Is the color scheme fitting to the photos? We talked about photos already in the first part. Do they showcase what I was actually looking for? Is it the outdated photo taken by the very first iPhone model, or is it really a professional photographer who made some really nice shots on the rooms, on the public facilities? I think that really makes a difference to compare a website that you open up. You have these blinking headlines, you have a color scheme that's all over the place, and the feeling is just not right.
I think the point you said there, and I knew I'd be quiet, but I can't help it. when you land and you get all this stuff thrown at you, it's like, hold on a minute. I'm not quite ready for that yet. just give me a minute to absorb.
Yeah. It should really be the case that if you move onto the website, it just looks appealing to you. The pictures and the way the layout is should just keep you on the site.
And what are your thoughts around the layout? I don't mean from a web developer's point of view, but you know, there's some dry content, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's just basic information that people want to know about. Yeah. And then we're back to the USP that we spoke about in part one. You know, there's actually I'm going to use the word personality. You know, your hotel has a personality. Your location has a personality. Your staff has a personality. And I'd be interested, Yor, because you work with so many hotels, so many different types of hotels. But when I land, you can really tell the difference between a site that is thinking about communicating to its guest about the personality of the property. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how many of those are just set up to communicate what I consider the dry information?
Yeah.
What do you see?
Well, it depends on what you want to communicate. So for a business hotel in a city center, you might rather want to showcase like how your rooms will look like, that you basically have maybe a sleek design and that you can do everything you can to cater for the needs of a business traveler. Mm-hmm. I think in terms of layout, it should be easy to navigate around. So you want to find information quickly. So it should be quite obvious where the menu bars are sitting and how you can navigate around with the help of them. So in order to find the information that you're looking for more resort style property, it could be helpful to also showcase some information, maybe if it's a family run business, on the people actually standing behind the product. So maybe showcasing the family, you see that quite often on really nicely made websites with a family picture, for example.
That's a really good point. Yeah, particularly when they're competing with brands, where you have a very brand standard.
Yeah.
And I guess it's different to how Airbnb have come about, but you know, there is a purpose where people want to be in the community, in the location. Yeah. And that if you're part of a small group, or a small independent hotel, you know, your staff is a family. That's going to be a massive selling point that sometimes you don't think is emphasized as much.
Mm-hmm. And I'm coming back to that point from before. Like, I think your pictures are telling the story for you, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. We're so associated with pictures, aren't
we? It's that quality part of, you know, where you just simply feel that someone has thought about it and would make you want to feel comfortable, basically, scrolling around on the website and follow along kind of a red line in terms of, you know, which kind of information to give one step after the next, basically, while being on that website. And obviously strongly underline that with some pictures that have a certain kind of expression at the end of the day, rather than having like tons of text standing somewhere.
But it's back to the example that you gave in the in part one. You know, you could imagine 3 or 4 hotels, maybe, you know, Switzerland, Northern Italy, you know, that are into mountain biking.
Yeah.
And 3 of them you could open up and they give you what you normally expect of every hotel.
Yeah.
And then you open up a 4th one and suddenly everything is about, you know, imagery around the trails, about mountain bikers, you know, about talking about the experiences. Yeah. And, you know, you could have a whole front homepage that is all about that you topic. Can clearly see we're here for mountain bikers. It's you can't come here if you don't want to, because you could also go and walk. But you know, if you're after a lot of entertainment, if you're after nightlife, if you're after restaurants, cinemas, museums, this probably isn't the place for you, because that's not what we're trying to target. Yeah. Then you have it back to your point, Till. I guess you know, if you've got a good menu, I want to find out about rooms and room layouts, but I want to go to that drier content and find it in the menu. I don't want to be inundated necessarily. And I know I'm saying but you know, we're all talking about this. This personalization. Yeah. If we're talking about personalization, how can we just have a website that looks the same to everybody, even if not everybody is coming to our site? You've got to think about the messaging when people arrive.
Yeah. And even think about integrating maybe videos to your website. That's also
really
something
good point.
You can
really
do
point.
On the OTAs, or at least not on so many of them. Or even we have one client now, they basically have 3 demodeled older hotels, where basically they had a special company filming all the properties from the inside, So you can navigate on their website, you can put on virtual reality glasses, and basically walk through all the properties. You can walk into the rooms, you can walk into the spa areas, you can even go into an elevator and then access the new floor. And so there's lots of help you can get also from professional agencies to really ramp up your website and make it your main selling tool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that just plays into, you know, giving guests the opportunity to experience what it would be like staying at your hotel before actually going there. But you get a chance to convince them, right?
And I think again, you know, yes, I mean, if you can afford to get somebody to come in and professionally do it, that's great. But again, sometimes that local feel or stripped back feel can also work just as well. I mean, you'd think a hotel could go out and buy, you know, one of these, I'm going to say GoPro, there are many others available, but as a GoPro user, I guess that's the one that comes to mind. You know, if you're a mountain biker, you go out and strap one on and actually show riding one of the tracks. You could be playing golf and you could walk the course. Probably can't use it in a spa, but if you're a city location, walk the tourist areas, give a sense and a feel. And even though people may be familiar with it, you're giving them something that others aren't. So someone will give you, you know, these are things you could do and see, and here are the links. And the other hotel is saying, here it is, experience it. Watch this 2-minute video or 1.5-minute video. And when you sit there on the mobile, on your train or commuting or whatever it might be, and you suddenly look at a video thinking, yeah, I want to go to Berlin or I want to go to Munich and what's it all about? And I've got 4 sites open giving me all the details and more links, or I've got a 2-minute video that was taken by one of the guys or girls that are there just talking you through it. Which one am I going to levitate towards? It's going to be towards that hotel if I want to make a decision.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point you're making there. If you give your guest this, I wouldn't even say little extra, but that's already like a lot extra on information on your website. You can list city events and how easy it is from your hotel to access it. Coming back to this mountain bike example, you can very well upload these videos of your own mountain bike rides if you're also into biking. But you can also upload directions or good routes to take with your mountain bike that are starting at your property, basically, to showcase that you have the ideal location to do this.
Yeah.
And the same would then apply for people who go on holidays and want to go running in the morning, for example. Could also work for a city center hotel that is located next to a park.
Yeah.
And you have 5 different routes for the people to take. That's actually a very, very good point.
Yeah. It's just
speaking, like, think about what your guests want to know.
There we go.
Visit your website, right?
Yeah.
And don't take it from the perspective of which kind of information you think they would want to know.
Yeah.
Listen to your guests.
Yeah.
Right? Just be in their shoes.
I mean, we spoke about that in the last one, but just they're there on property. They're there for a period of time. You know, you've got a captive audience of people that made a choice for a reason. If you are not, as a general manager or someone from the marketing team or someone from the sales team, tapping into why they are there and why they chose, and then thinking, do we best, if we get a theme, are we best communicating that theme on our website? Well, if you're not doing that, then it's just, to me, that doesn't cost anything apart from a conversation. And I think we said, you know, even if you wanted to give them a free cocktail or something, if they sat and spoke with you for 15 minutes, it's not a lot to give away for critical insights. It's so important.
Yeah, true. But as we also know, all of that doesn't matter if, from a pricing point of view, you're doing things not in the correct way, right? Like, how would you feel if you start your search for a hotel or some sort of destination and you find a hotel, first of all, on Booking, or you find it in the first place on Google, in your Google hotel search, and you see that basically there you're getting offered a lower rate rather than what you would be quoted if you booked directly.
Had it happened on Tuesday? Had it happened on Tuesday, literally reached out to a hotel, emailed them, went on the website, went on Expedia.
Yeah.
Website and email. I can't believe I got an email back that was quoting me a more expensive price than on one of the main OTAs. I mean, seriously, yeah. What commission are they going to pay for my booking through Expedia that they could have instantly just given me a price that would have got me to say? And I tested it because I knew we had this podcast coming up.
Yeah.
To kind of test it, to just think.
Oh, real life example.
Yeah. I'd probably been daft, but there it was in black and white, charging me more than I could find on an OTA.
Yeah.
I mean, as you say, you could have the best website in the world, but you are not going to get that booking.
Yeah.
It's just ludicrous.
And we expanded on that a lot during the last podcast as well. And I think just, you know, try and have your distribution under control as much as you can, right? And get help, obviously, if that's not the case.
Yeah. Right. And I think we talk about sort of a parity. Yeah, there's parity tools, rate shopping tools. You know, I mean, you guys, yeah, there's plenty out there for the sake of that investment. Just to know what is going on, if you can't control it another way, that's gonna pay. But as you say, we touched quite a bit on that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Best website, best content, best videos, best guides doesn't mean anything if then they can get it cheaper elsewhere. So price parity is critical.
And that also applies to having at least the same offers on your own website and what you have on the OTAs.
Yep.
Which means, I think in the last podcast, we already touched on that as well. If you offer only rooms with breakfast or room only on your website, but you have the full package up to half board on the OTAs, it doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely.
Especially because you need to pay commission on that as well.
Yeah. Do you know why? I mean, I can't understand. Is there something in the technology or why would a hotel have an all-inclusive, half-board, breakfast, or room only as four options possibly, or even if they don't have the all-inclusive, you know, room, breakfast, half-board. Why would you find that on an OTA, but then you wouldn't find that on their own website? Is there something I'm missing that it's harder to put it on their website than it is to have that distributed out onto an OTA? I don't think so, but I'm just checking. No,
I don't think so either, but maybe the booking engine they are using is so complicated that it's not possible to set it up, or maybe there's a lack of knowledge on the property.
Okay.
I totally agree. It's not really making sense.
Okay. And I think when we spoke, you didn't mention it. I think you mentioned it after after the last podcast. You spoke about packages and kind of seasonal packages. I think you said why I'm looking to book a summer holiday, why am I being offered a winter package, or was there something around that I remember you saying?
Yes, you come across quite some hotel websites who set up a lot of packages, so from time to time there's the saying, if you don't know any further on how to develop your business, you just need to create a new package and things will work out
considerably,
which sometimes results in a hotel having 10, 15 different packages at the same open at the same time.
Right.
And it's just over confusing the guests. I mean, you go on a website and you have three different rate plans and 10 different packages online that you see. How do you really want to make a decision? In the marketing, you say you need three different choices. That's why usually if you book an airline ticket, you have three different choices here.
Yeah.
A very basic, something in the middle, and then you have a high class, maybe with a refundable policy.
Mm-hmm.
And for hotels, you should aim at least this, not just the same, but maybe very reduced view, because as you said, it doesn't make any sense. You look for a summer holiday and the Christmas package is still online.
Yeah.
That doesn't really look very reliable.
No.
Same goes for 10, 15 different packages. The client would just be confused by the amount of choice that they are having, because it's really hard to then go ahead and evaluate the USPs of every single package. And statistics show that the more choices you have, the less likely you will be making a final decision. So that's actually decreasing your conversion on your own website by quite a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Just by saying, keeping your product shelf in terms of rate products and package products as clean as possible, and by only showing what's relevant, right?
Yeah,
you would be on a good way.
Yeah. So again, not a suggestion, but you know, if you've got three room types, it's three room types they can choose between. Then you might have three different types of offering for each of those room types, but you've got three choices, you choose a room, then you've got three different offerings, choose an offering. Then make sure, and I think this is also a point you made, a slightly more drier element here, but then make sure you have the details behind that offering of what it actually means, what some of the constraints might be, you know, as a guest looking to book, because it may mean I want to choose that option, but then when I see the actual detail, oh, okay, well, let me see how that compares with one of the other offerings. And it may be there's a little bit more flexibility as you move up the offering that might entice me to have actually gone for option B rather than option A. But keeping it clean, keep minimizing the decisions. That's a really good tip. Okay. And relevance. Now, you touched on it a moment ago when we asked about the OTAs, and you said, well, maybe the booking engine is a bit complicated. Don't want to get into booking engines specifically because there are many different types and we may not know them all intimately enough to be credible to advise. But I mean, the first thing for me is just the speed.
Oh, yes, it is.
Response time, right? Easy to use, basically. Being very clear on, you know, which kind of criteria you want to be giving the option to the guest when searching on the website. And then, as you say, like speed. Okay. Yeah. If I have to wait for 3 minutes for that page to load and show me what kind of offers are available there, you know, I'm choosing a different platform.
Yeah. And we're here not even talking about 3 minutes. Yeah. But even having a site that takes you to load like 4 to 8 seconds could make a huge difference to a site that's really optimized or a booking engine that's working flawlessly and it loads within 1 or even less than 2 seconds.
No, I think you're right. And I think we can get overly caught up sometimes on looking at how many seconds. Oh, well, you know, 6 seconds doesn't seem a lot. It doesn't in time with the speed, but psychologically, you know, if I'm in a place where I'm thinking I've got a few minutes, I haven't really got a few minutes, I've got a few seconds. It's kind of the idea is sparked into my head. I've dived onto the website. I want to look at it. It's inspired me. I'm going to book. If I'm sitting there waiting, I'm starting, my mood has started to shift from I'm excited to, oh, this is frustrating. So having piqued my interest, to then have me be delayed is putting a negative feeling over this experience. And that might make me just question. So it's less about 6 seconds, 8 seconds, 4 seconds. Yeah. It's more, if you're delaying them, how psychologically is that shifting their mindset?
I would bet if we would take a sudden break of 15 seconds now here, we would lose a couple of listeners.
Wow. Unless we were doing some mindfulness, which is actually a good thing to do. But you're probably right. It could be 8 seconds.
Same point. Yeah.
Well, that was two. That was two. but it's I think so much of this is around the psychology, isn't it? And that's what sometimes gets forgotten. It's that you're dealing with a human being who is in a psychological state at the point at which they are actioning what they're doing, whether they're you know, kind of thinking about the idea, whether they're searching about the idea, whether they're comparing different options. You know, they're all in different psychological states before they even get to the fact of booking. If you've taken them along that process and then you get them to a bit where they're actually going to say, yes, I'm coming to see you, and then you slow down that process, that just is almost like putting a buffer on the train rail.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good last point. Absolutely.
So I think really in terms of, I don't think there's anything else. I mean, you know, again, nothing revolutionary. We're not talking machine learning, AI, any new bit of tech on here. This is just tools that we have available that people, that hotels have already invested money in. So you have it. It may require a little bit more investment with a developer if you want to tweak and change it, but there's a lot of platforms out there where you can amend. But to me, it comes back to what we were talking about in part one. The message I'm getting out from you guys is it still comes back to thinking about, we're in hospitality. What does our hotel offer our guests? What does our guests want? How are we talking to them as individually, if not Vite and Till, but mountain biker and whatever Till's into, but you know, kind of tapping into, you know, those feeder markets, understanding how they're coming to you and ensuring it's set up that way, and then making sure that the first thing they see engages them with your property to want them to find out a bit more. Simplify the packages and make sure you've got a quick booking engine that when they're ready to book, don't hold up that process of getting them to get their credit card out.
Yeah. Agree.
Anything else to add into this?
Not really. That was a very, very good summary of the last minute.
Well, good.
At which point, it probably leads us into a nice 15-second break to just see if we lose any.
Okay, let's make that test.
No, okay, thanks, guys. That was excellent. Again, you know, these are just simple back-to-basic tips, and that's what we want to try and bring and not overcomplicate the process.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just think about your guests. Talk to your guests and make sure you've got the tech to back it up.
Maybe one last point I would like to make. My feeling is it goes a bit against the trend of all the data, as you said, and machine learning and AI, where you really try to quantify your guests and their stay pattern. But here it's really all about taking a look back and understanding what are the individual guests behind the numbers and why are they coming to your property.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different view on your business than what many businesses are nowadays taking in terms of really putting a number on everyone's head.
Yeah. You're almost turning the telescope round almost and looking at it through the other direction, aren't you? Really good point. Thanks a lot, guys. Always a pleasure to have these conversations with you.
Likewise.
Always get some nice insights and back to basic practicalities, which at the end of the day, they're pretty simple to fix and don't cost a lot of money to do. Really, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
So that's the end of today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you had any questions or future topic suggestions, please feel free to reach out via content@revenue-hub.com. Thank you all for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, like, and tell your colleagues and friends. Catch you next time.